Hello, everybody. With Bob Christopher, Richard Piper, and Andrew Farley, I'm Bob Davis, welcoming you to Basic Gospel, a media ministry dedicated to helping you hear, believe, and live the good news of Jesus Christ. We're live, on the air, and online right now, just for you. To answer your call and address your question, or offer direction for the many times difficult, frustrating issues of real life, we invite your calls right now to 844-32-BASIC. 844-32-BASIC. The full number, of course, 844-322-2742. Either way, it's Basic Gospel, and here's Bob Christopher.
Well, thanks, Bob. Jesus Christ is alive. That's good news. Jesus Christ has come to live inside of us. That's even better news. And as we learn to trust in him, we see his life lived out through us, and that's just the best news, isn't it?
Oh, yeah. You know, this week we've been talking about holiness. It's awesome to be here with you guys, and this subject matter is so important to the Christian life because so many people have it wrong. We end up striving for what we've already got.
Absolutely. Charles Haddon Spurgeon, a great theologian and preacher of England and last century, said this about holiness. Holiness is not the way to Christ. Christ is the way to holiness. And then he stopped and said, better still, Christ is our holiness. And I think that's what we miss as far as the Christian life is concerned. We seek for holiness, and we try to seek it as something apart from our relationship with Christ. Mm-hmm. We want to imitate him and become holy like he is holy, so we do it by pulling ourselves up with our bootstraps, human effort, but we miss the fact that Christ Jesus himself is our holiness. And once we get that right, everything starts to flow. We actually start to see holiness come out of us in ways we never dreamed or imagined.
Yeah, I mean, you look at the fruit of the Spirit. I like to examine just where is that going to come from? What place is that going to come from? You know, you got a guy who thinks he needs to get holy, try to be holier, somehow manufacture holiness. And so that's going to lead inevitably to stress, anxiety. You can call it spiritual anxiety. You can call it spiritual stress if you want. But there's no way that gentleness is going to come out of that. There's no way that patience is going to come out of that. There's no way that a genuine love is going to come out of that. So God has this thing figured out. I mean, obviously, he's running the universe. And so the fruit of the Spirit comes from a place of spiritual rest. Now, if you're striving for holiness, there's no way you could be resting at the same time.
Absolutely. So we have to rest in the fact that Christ Jesus is our holiness.
1-800-844-322-2742. That's the toll-free number, 844-322-2742 or 844-32-BASIC. We want to hear from you. Open lines right now. Give us a call.
Well, we're going to start today in Oak Island, North Carolina, and talk with Tommy. Hi, Tommy.
Hey, how y'all doing?
We're doing fantastic. Nice to hear from you, my friend.
Yeah, I listen to y'all all the time. You've all really helped me out immensely with the scriptures. And, well, my question is, I got talking to a Catholic priest a while back, and I asked him if he believed in grace. You know, I said, because I was raised a Catholic, and I mentioned that I just never hear grace come up in any of the sermons I hear, you know, when I was, you know, the whole time I spent in the Catholic religion. And he said, oh, yeah, we do. We believe in it. And I said, well, you know, I just never... And anytime I ever talk to a Catholic, they don't know what I'm talking about. So what's your opinion on that?
Well, Tommy, interesting question. And, you know, there's a lot of folks that say they believe in grace. I think every Christian that walks the planet says they believe in some concept, some idea of grace. We just don't know exactly what it is. So what in the world is grace? When we talk about the word grace, what are we really talking about? Is it a thing? Is it, a new set of rules and regulations to follow? What in the world is grace?
Well, I mean, you know, first we got to see that Jesus is the face of grace. I mean, Jesus is full of grace and truth. So we're actually talking, Tommy, about, you know, the character of Christ here. So what does it mean that Christ is gracious to me? Well, it means everything's free. I mean, I can't think of a better way to express it. Everything is free. He who didn't spare his son, how will he not freely give us all things? So we try to earn and do, and he's saying, no, no, my presence is free, my power is free. I was at Notre Dame for a while. I was serving as a professor there, got to know the Catholic thoughts and belief system. And yeah, they'll use the word grace, but grace is something that they're slowly getting. Grace is something that they're earning. Grace is something that they're praying for. So they're seeing that God is essentially a dispenser of grace, but he dispenses grace in portions. And, you know, what we believe is really important, that on day one, moment one of being in Christ, he has set us up with everything that we need for life and godliness. He's not withholding grace, and he's not dispensing grace in little portions. We have all the grace we'll ever need.
We're always in God's good favor.
Yeah.
We're never out of that once we're in Christ. And I think that's the most exciting news that there is. Well, does that mean we're in God's good favor when we're blowing it, when we're giving in to sin? And the answer
Absolutely.
To that is yes, yes, we are.
Yes.
You know, I have three kids. You have a young son. You've raised two that are out on their own. And boy, my kids have made some mistakes in their high school years. They've started hanging around with the wrong people, and they've gotten into some trouble. But they did it, in our house, under our roof, within that context.
Yes.
And just being there in a safe environment made it possible for them to really come to us and say, hey, I've messed up. You know, I've done this. I've gotten in trouble. I don't know how to get out. And we can deal with it together.
Mm-hmm.
And that's just a microcosm of what we have in Christ, that we stand in the grace of God. We're always in his favor. And when we mess up, it's that grace that embraces us and hugs us and loves us and tells us, you know, it's okay. It dusts us off. It puts us back on the right track. That's what Christ does in our lives, and
yeah.
We really have to understand that.
Yeah, Jesus, or Paul wasn't kidding when he said, Christ in you, the hope of glory. I mean, that's grace. Mm. Jesus
right.
has come
but.
To live inside of me because of the Holy Spirit, by means of the Holy Spirit. That's why we have everything we need for life and godliness.
Tommy, does that help?
Yeah, it does, but you didn't answer my question. Do you really think that Catholics, I'm just saying that, why do they never mention, are you going to come to, would you please consider coming to God, coming to Jesus and asking him to forgive you of all your sins and ask him to come into your life? And, most of your Baptist denominations, they all do it.
Yeah,
but the Catholics never do it in any of their sermons. They just never do, and I just feel like they're more into the works end of it, and that's what they really believe.
Yeah, I mean that's been my experience too. As I said, as a professor there at Notre Dame, I got to go to Catholic masses and get to know a lot of Catholics very personally. A lot of them are just simply not aware of the true gospel
right.
message. And it's very much like, I hate to say it, but it's much like the Jewish practices under the law. It's not year after year, but it's mass after mass. And so the way
yeah.
that people are viewing things is that you get right with God progressively through ceremonies and sacraments, and
right.
it's not really resting in the finished work.
Yeah, that's why, it's scary to think that, because the Catholic religion is so huge, and I mean, I got saved. Charles Stanley saved me a few years ago, and I've pretty well given up on the Catholic end of it. I still love them to death, but I just feel like they're really misleading a lot of people. I mm-hmm. mean, to be that the
well,
largest,
yeah, I mean, you can talk about that
in the world.
You can talk about that in general, but don't judge individual Catholics by what the overall organization may or may not stand for. I mean, I grew up
in a
church that was just as far out, although, quote, Christian. I know a lot of people who are still there but are absolutely saved by the grace of God, walking by faith in the finished work of Jesus. Just for some reason, they haven't found a reason to leave or haven't been pushed out or whatever it is.
Right.
So you take it on a person-by-person basis and try to ignore
right.
the organization.
Yeah, that's what I do. I always confront a Catholic. I mean, just being, friendly and just trying to raise the conversation, I always bring up grace to them. And
well, it's all about Jesus.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Start and end there.
They always look at me like a deer in the headlights, you know. They just don't know. They don't understand what I'm even talking about, and it just scares me, that's all.
Yeah.
But I really appreciate you helping me.
You're welcome, Tommy. Thanks for your call.
Better.
You're welcome. Let's go to East Meadow, New York, and talk with Frank, listening to us on WMCA. Hi, Frank.
Yes, Bob. Good to talk with you. I had seen you with my friend Glenn at the American Bible Society in New York.
I remember that, Frank.
Yes. I hope you're doing well. It's great to talk with you. And I just want to say I'm so blessed by your book. I was so blessed by the book Love Is, and by the books by Andrew Farley, God Without Religion and The Naked Gospel.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
They've really blessed me. You know, the explanation of 1 John 1:9 and, the truth about the Gnostics has been such a blessing that actually my friend Glenn and I have been speaking to Christians, that we know in the church I used to go to, that I still go to on a Bible study on Thursday, and we've been able to share, and I think there's been some progress and a lot of more openness in them understanding that, all our sins are paid for, and that we don't have to ask for forgiveness. We just have to acknowledge that we sinned and be thankful that, all our sins are paid for. So that's been a great blessing. Those books and have helped us to share.
Mm-hmm. Great to hear it, Frank. That's awesome. Appreciate you sharing that. I mean, Bob, this is something that comes up over and over. This total forgiveness thing. People think that we might be saying, you don't have to worry about your behavior or something like that. But it's really the opposite. As we begin to realize our forgiveness and our cleansing and our rightness, it only naturally causes us to think like cleansed people and act like forgiven people. So
yeah, I love what Paul said. You were once in darkness, but now you're in light. Yeah. Live as children of light. It just makes sense. You've been changed internally, and so live that out. That's the Christian life. Well, how do you do that? Mm-hmm. By faith in the resurrected Christ, and the door to that is really this forgiveness. Understanding that all of our sins have been taken away once and for all. And that's really good news. And that's what the love of God is all about, because it was at the cross that God demonstrated his love for us in this, that while we were yet sinners, Christ died. So if we're going to know anything about the love of Jesus Christ, we have to start at the cross. Why? Because that was his demonstration of love for each and every one of us. And when we start there and understand that great love and the fact that Christ took away our sins, then the love of God just opens up in just magnificent ways to us, and it grows exponentially inside of us. So start there, and your life will be on the right course as far as your journey with the Lord is concerned. Well, Frank, we certainly appreciate your call.
Yes, I just want to say one last thing if I can. I'm actually going to a Bible study tomorrow that's starting out east, friends from my ex-church. And of all the topics they were deciding what to study, they decided to choose 1 John. So maybe the Lord is doing this so I can get this message out,
Yes, indeed.
So I'm going to be going there and sharing about what I've learned. So I'm so excited about that tomorrow, too.
Well, good for you, Frank. And keep us posted on that. We would love to hear how that turned out.
And I will, Bob. Thank you. God bless you all.
Well, you too. Thanks for your call. Frank mentioned several books. My book, Love Is, a couple of that Andrew has written, Church Without Religion and The Naked Gospel. All of those are available on our website, basicgospel.net. Mm-hmm. If you're looking for a resource to help ground you in the love of Jesus Christ, to help you experience the freedom that Jesus has called you to, these are fabulous resources, and I encourage you to take advantage of those. Get one, buy several of them, one for you and one to pass on to friends. I guarantee you it'll be a blessing in their lives.
You can find them at store.basicgospel.net. That's store.basicgospel.net. Open lines, time on the clock. Want to hear from you, 844-322-2742. Again, 844-32-BASIC. And Frank mentioned a Bible study. We're going to have a big-time Bible study on March 7th in Vacaville, California. Why don't you tell the audience about that?
We are going to be out in Vacaville, California at the Valley Church. Jeremy White is the pastor there. He has graciously opened up his doors to allow us to host a seminar. It's the Hear, Believe, Live Tour. And, you know, when you think about the gospel of Jesus Christ, I was struck reading a book by Tullian Chavidian. He said, you know, for years I just thought of the gospel in terms of that initial salvation experience, that it was just for that moment in time when I was saved. Mm-hmm. And then you leave the gospel there and you move on to something else. And it was years before he learned that the gospel was really life. This death, burial, and resurrection was everything. And that's a process that we're involved in, of learning to hear, really hear what this gospel message is. Take off all the filters that we have, all the different lenses that we usually wear when we listen to the gospel. Just take all those things off and hear it for what it is, and then let our minds be challenged to fully believe it, to get fully persuaded that Christ has taken away all of our sins, that we truly are righteous in the sight of God, that we truly have been made alive. We come to that point that we fully believe it, and then we live it out. Well, that's what this conference is all about, is helping you get caught up in that process of allowing the gospel message to really take hold in your life and manifest itself in every area of your life. It's an exciting conference. We look forward to meeting many of you out there in Vacaville. You can't beat the price, $19 a person, $29 a couple. All the information on how to sign up is on our website at basicgospel.net.
And the radio team, of course, all of us will be there, Bob, Richard, and I, and we hope that you will be too. Again, you can get information when you visit our website, basicgospel.net, or you can speak with Billy, our operator, at 844-41-BASIC. That's 844-41-BASIC.
Well, let's go to Brad in O'Fallon, Missouri, listening to us on the Internet. Hi, Brad.
Hey, Brad.
You know, it's kind of a sad day for me. This has been such a wonderful month with a wonderful topic. And your introduction and your conversation during that introduction kind of stole all my thunder. But
well, that's what we were trying to do, so
glad
we accomplished
could help.
Our goal.
I know, but I sat here while I was waiting just figuring, okay, what else can I say? No, not really. Whatever's been possible for me as a believer is possible for every single believer that is in Christ. And what's been so wonderful with your help, with the studies we've done over the years, with Andrew Farley, I've read all of his books. Well, I listen to them. I don't really read them. And a lot of other teaching tapes. This indwelling life, and maybe you're going to have a month on the indwelling life, I've come to a point where I actually experience it every day. And several years ago, I asked God if he would please use my eyes to what eyes I had, whether it was my ears or my eyes, to see his word and his intent, not from my intellect. And I asked him at the same time if he would allow me to see myself as he sees me. And God has been so faithful to answer that with an affirmative yes. And as I grow in grace, I'm really experiencing that life that is no longer mine. It's his. And I'm seeing everything through the new creation. And what's in the new creation? I mean, the entire Godhead lives there. I mean, and that's why I tell people that want to get closer to God, you can't really get closer to God than what we already are. And just understanding this indwelling life, Jesus, the hope of glory, lives in us. And he wants us to experience life, not so much, I would say this, he wants us to experience life in the new creation more than we experience life in our external physical body. And believe you me, I have more fun I have more happiness, I have more peace in and through the new creation than I ever experienced externally, because everybody has trouble every day, and most of it, for the most part, comes from external sources, which mess up your inside too. But this
Brad, did you have a question on that, or?
Well, I wanted to ask Andrew if he could explain briefly about what he brings up on one of his teachings about how God deals with us in that new creation, but at the same time, he's maturing our soul, or he's changing how our soul is used and grows and demonstrates
I got you, Brad. Yeah, let me just speak to that a little bit. So, you know, it's not that our spirit is clean and our soul is dirty. It's not that our spirit is new, but our soul is old. You got to remember that, you know, we're going to go to heaven as spirit and soul, and we're also going to get a new body. But you recall that the Bible doesn't tell us we're going to get a new soul later. So what is the situation with our soul? Well, as I see it, you know, the Bible's saying that our soul is like a mirror. I mean, we can walk after the flesh, we can walk after the spirit. There's two ways we can walk. We can reflect the spirit, or we can reflect sin. But still, how we walk doesn't give us our nature. Our nature comes from somewhere deeper. Our nature comes from our spirit, where Christ lives. So, you know, just like Jesus grew in wisdom and stature, he grew in knowledge, yet he was fully the Son of God the entire time. His nature didn't come from the fact that he was learning. Well, we're learning and we're growing, and of course we sin. We fall and skin our knees and get back up and we learn from it, but that doesn't give us our nature. So there's this, Bob, there's this beautiful, paradox here, because we're learning and we're growing, but we're fully righteous at the same time, because our righteousness doesn't come from our growth.
Comes from Christ. Yeah. He is our righteousness.
Yeah.
And that's the good news. Now, as far as our minds and our emotions and those sort of things, we've spent a lot of time allowing those things to be controlled by the flesh, being controlled by the ways of this world. And
right.
So there's a lot of habits there. There's a lot of patterns that mm-hmm. have developed there. And as we grow in grace, we see those patterns start to change.
Yeah.
We see the mind starting to think a little differently. We see our attitude starting to reflect more of the attitudes of Christ. We start to experience humility. And as we experience humility, that grace seems to take up more spaces in our minds and in, you know, right. our thinking. And that's really exciting.
And yet the beauty of it all is that, you know, in the midst of it, if Christ were to return at any single moment, we are heaven ready. Like, he's ready to call us home. He doesn't have to do a last minute polish of our spirit or our soul. Yeah, we're going to be learning in eternity. But he has made us heaven ready.
Absolutely. That's good news. That's basic gospel right there.
Yeah, that is basic gospel for sure. And Andrew, thanks for being with us today. Friends, want to remind you, of course, something you already know, that social media is a great way to follow basic gospel. And if what you've heard on this broadcast has made a difference in your life, please like us on Facebook and follow us on Twitter at Basic Gospel RDO. And please, of course, include Basic Gospel in your giving to support the work of Jesus Christ. I'll talk more about that in just a moment. But as Bob reminded you also, there are many valuable resources available to you in our online store, and you'll find them at store.basicgospel.net. That's store.basicgospel.net. You know, Basic Gospel is here every day, bringing the truth of God's Word in clear, understandable terms. And many for the first time are hearing, believing, and living out the life that Jesus Christ has made available to us. And as I've said all week, someone else gave to support Basic Gospel so that you could hear, and what a blessing they gave you. Now that you've heard, we want you to be a part of the blessing of passing this message on to others, so we ask you to join us today, if you can, in supporting Basic Gospel. You'll find a support link in the menu at basicgospel.net. That's basicgospel.net. Or you can speak with our operator at 844-41-BASIC. That's 844-412-2742. Again, 844-41-BASIC. And may God richly bless and multiply your gift to Basic Gospel. We appreciate so much the partnership that all of you who give to support this ministry experience with us day by day and month by month on Basic Gospel. Well, thanks for joining us, everybody. Now for Bob Christopher, Richard Piper, Andrew Farley, and the ministry team, this is Bob Davis inviting you to join us again on Monday for another live edition of Basic Gospel. Have a great weekend. Bye-bye.